It's like, you know, the guy whose wife told him, she said, you know, I'd love to be six again. And he said, oh, I'm going to fulfill that wish. And so he took her to the amusement park, and they rode all the roller coasters, and man, just had a wonderful time. And, you know, she was enjoying herself, but she was getting dizzy because, you know, just wasn't able to do it like she used to be able to do it. And then after that, he, you know, took her to McDonald's, and you know, they had hamburgers and french fries and sodas. And, oh, man, you know, he just fed her all that she wanted to. And that evening, she kind of stumbled into the house and, you know, laid down. And he came over to his wife, and he said, how does it feel to be six again? And she said, I was talking about my dress size, you idiot.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the first half of part four, Babel in the Home. So please open your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of Babel in the Home.
Genesis chapter 11, and we're continuing on with our series entitled, What We Have Here is a Failure to Communicate. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And this morning, we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 9 in Genesis chapter 11. And the scripture says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one. They all have one language, and this they will begin to do. And now nothing will be withheld from them, which they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And as we come this morning, I want to share with you this message, Babel in the Home. Babel in the Home. Babel in the Home. One of the things that we see today is that there is a breakdown in the home as far as communication is concerned. Now, I just want to, in case somebody might begin to zone out and say, well, you know, he's not going to be speaking to me today. I just want to say this, that everyone here is a part of some type of family structure. If you are in a home with a family, with parents and children, you are a part of a family structure. If you are a part of a greater family where you have cousins or brothers and sisters or mother and father, children that might not be living with you, I'm speaking to everybody today that, you know, we need to do a better job communicating. And one of the reasons that I share a message like this, because once again, it convicts me. It convicts me. I know that sometimes I don't always do the job that I need to do in communicating. Sometimes, you know, you feel that you and the other person might be on the same page, so there's a lot of things that you skip over or some things that you delete because you feel that, you know, you're working together and that people understand what it is that you're trying to say so you can bypass some things. But The longer I live, the more I realize that communication is essential wherever you're at. In a church, on your job, in your home, communication is essential. It's like, you know, the guy whose wife told him, she said, you know, I'd love to be six again. And he said, oh, I'm going to fulfill that wish. And so he took her to the amusement park, and they rode all the roller coasters, and man, just had a wonderful time. And, you know, she was enjoying herself, but she was getting dizzy because, you know, just wasn't able to do it like she used to be able to do it. And then after that, he, you know, took her to McDonald's, and you know, they had hamburgers and french fries and sodas. And, oh, man, you know, he just fed her all that she wanted to. And that evening, she kind of stumbled into the house and, you know, laid down. And he came over to his wife, and he said, how does it feel to be six again? And she said, I was talking about my dress size, you idiot. Communication breakdown. You know, sometimes we have a breakdown in communication. You know, it's like the little boy who was standing outside looking at some of the people who had served in the war. And there were these statues of individuals that had served before. And the pastor came out, and he wanted to communicate with the little boy, and he was trying to tell him, you know, what that was all about. And he said, you know, son, he said, these are men that have died in the service. And the little boy said, pastor, which one, the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service? What we have here is a failure to communicate. We have a failure to communicate, and we need to, you know, work hard at communicating in the home, especially in the home. And as we look at our scripture today, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the proper interpretation. As I always say, there is only one interpretation, but there are many applications. So we want to look at the proper interpretation of the passage, but then we want to make a little bit different application. So as we go through the passage, let's work through it real quick, and then we'll get to this point of Babel in the home. First, we see the unification. And the unification is in verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. So everybody spoke the same language. No matter who you were, no matter where you were from, there was only one language. I'm not sure if there were different dialects of that language, but everybody was able to understand each other. And communication was great. You know, there was no need for interpreters, for somebody to come and to interpret another language. There was no need for individuals to have to break down what it was that they were trying to communicate. But they all spoke one language. Everybody said the same thing. And, you know, sometimes in the home, that's where the breakdown is. People are talking different languages. You got a group that might be speaking one language, and you got a group that might be saying something else. And as a result, they begin to miss each other, and that causes confusion in the home. But we see here that the whole earth was of one language. Then we see the exaltation. And the exaltation is that the citizens wanted to make a name for themselves. They were filled with pride. And they were determined to build a tower that would reach unto the heavens. Verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they were filled with pride. They wanted to build this tower as a tribute and a memorial to themselves. And they wanted it to be able to reach into heaven. I don't know if they were trying to reach God, or if they wanted this tower to so that the whole earth could see this land. And they became filled with pride and lifted up. And we see the exaltation. And then we see the disorientation in verses 5 through 8. The disorientation. The Lord came down and confused the language of the people. and he thwarted their efforts to build the tower. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be withheld from them, which they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. The disorientation. Now we have confusion. Now we have people that are saying, give me a brick, and the person doesn't understand what they're saying. Now they have people saying, bring the wheelbarrow with the mortar over here, and nobody understands what they're saying. And so now we have this disorientation. And then finally, we have the identification. And what is the identification? That the name of the place was called Babel. Verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, I want to say this, that, you know, as we come, you know, I realize that this was God who had done this, that God came down and God confounded the language of the people. In your home, God has the exact opposite desire. God, instead of wanting to come into your home and confound the language, God wants to come in so that everybody's on the same page. God wants to come in so that everybody is speaking the same thing, so that there's harmony, so that there's unity, so that there's communication in the home. And we have a serious breakdown in the home today. And this breakdown is in the area of communication. And we need to work hard at communicating so that the problems are minimized in the home. What is the meaning of this word Babel? Actually, the word Babel comes from a Hebrew word, a Babel, which means confusion. Confusion. So what did God do? When God came down and saw these folk building this tower, God came down and he confused them. And it was a mess. And you know, that confusion has followed mankind. And God has been doing everything that he can to get that confusion straightened out. And as you look at your notes, why is there Babel in the home? Right in the middle, why is there Babel in the home? Many homes have a Tower of Babel experience. Now, what am I saying when I say Tower of Babel experience? I'm talking about a failure to communicate. I'm talking about confusion. I'm talking about things that are not getting done. Why is it that people have a Tower of Babel experience in the home? Well, there are several reasons. One is you may have one adult who is the aggressor, and the other one is a withdrawal. And that causes communication breakdown. You know, oftentimes, it's the wife. That she is the aggressor as far as wanting communication, as far as wanting to see things flow smoothly. And sometimes the husband will shut down, will withdraw. And at that point, communication breaks down. Sometimes both can be aggressors. And you know what you got then when both are aggressors? You got a war, man. You know, boom, just everybody going at it. And instead of communicate, what are you doing? You're fighting. You're arguing, you're bickering when both people want to come at it aggressively. So there's a failure to communicate there. And then you might have a situation where both withdraw. And when both withdraw, then you have no communication going on. There's nothing happening when both people withdraw. They maybe there was a time that they were fighting and they were going at each other. And now they have both gone to their own corners and just have shut down communication. There's withdrawal there. And so there begins a failure to communicate. And then sometimes in the home with husband and wife, with children, maybe even let's take this beyond your home and take it with maybe other family members. Maybe there is a certain apathy that sets in. Well, you know what? I've tried. I've done everything that I can. You know, it's just no use. Or people just begin to drift apart. You know, they just begin to fall away from each other. Y'all heard the story about a man and a wife, that he worked the day shift and she worked the evening shift. And they used to see each other at this one corner every day when they passed in cars, and they would blow at each other and they would wave at each other. And somebody standing on the corner made the observation that maybe the two should be introduced to one another. And you know, that's so true in the life of some people. They're just like, as the old expression says, two ships passing in the night. And what happens? You pass and you continue to drift further and further and further apart. And there's no communication going on. Maybe it's happened with another relative that you used to be close, and you just drifted further and further and further apart. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And then let's bring the youth into this whole thing here. Where does the breakdown come, even with the youth? Well, sometimes youth are impatient. They're like, I can't believe my parents are so old-fashioned. I can't believe that they still think that way. And so what happens is they begin to shut down because of their impatience with the adults. Or even sometimes they might be impulsive and they just rush into things and they do things without regard for communication from their parents or from those who love them. They just impulsively rush in and do things. And there's a breakdown in communication. And then sometimes the youth just, let's be honest, let's be outright honest. And some youth are sitting here today, and you're going to say, Pastor, I'll say amen to that. You're just not interested in the things that the adults are interested in. Some of you are here today, you could be more interested in this sermon that I'm preaching as you are as going out watching bark grow on a tree in the forest. You know, you're just here. You're just here. It's just not interesting to you. You know this. Now, if we had, you know, some people up here that was shaking and baking, it might be a different story. You know, it might be a different story. You know, we'd probably get them up shouting, yeah. But you know, just for some, just not interested. And you know what? That same attitude transfers over to the home. I'm just not interested in the things that my parents are interested in. And you know, sometimes it can even be the opposite. Maybe sometimes the parents are not interested in the things that the children are doing. And so you can see how that this all works together and just completely crumbles and breaks down communication in the home. I was looking at an article, and it said, what do couples argue about? You know, what are some things that couples argue about? Well, number one, and you know what, everybody will know this, money. That's the number one thing that couples argue about, and they have disagreements about. The other one is this, and I guess this is why people have 3 and 4 TVs in their house. They argue about which TV shows they're going to watch. They argue about spending too little time together. They argue about how to discipline the children. They argue about how the house is kept. They argue about leisure plans and what they're going to do with their leisure time. They argue about how to spend vacations, and they argue about which friends that they're going to see. And so we got all these things bombarding the home as far as communication is concerned. And let's not even get into this whole thing of people are just plain old busy. Everybody's going different ways. Everybody's doing their own thing. And this further adds to this whole breakdown of communication in the home. And when communication breaks down, I'm just going to say this. What do we have? We have babble. That's what we have. We have folks saying stuff that the other person has no idea what in the world they're saying. What you talking about, Willis? No idea. No idea what they're saying. You know, they might be speaking English, but there's no connection. People are missing each other. So, you know, I really prayed and asked God, Lord, what are some things that we can begin to do to establish this communication again? What are some things that we can do to begin to connect? You know, I get tired of listening to preachers telling me what the problem is. Now, I know what my problems are. I really do. I know where my issues are. I know where I got issues. I know where I got struggles. I need somebody to tell me how to get better. I need somebody to tell me how I can do the right thing. I need somebody to tell me what God says. Now, then it becomes up to me whether or not I'm going to listen to what it is that is told me. But that's what I need. So, I you know, as I say all the time, you know, I just don't want to come and tell y'all that y'all got a problem or tell us that we got a problem. I just don't want to do that. You know, I'd like to come walk away with some biblical answers, some biblical solutions to the issues that we are dealing with. So, you know, what we're going to look at, how can we avoid Babel? How can we avoid a home of confusion? How can we avoid homes where people are not on the same page? How can we avoid homes where there's a lack of communication? How can we avoid Babel in the home? Here goes some healthy communication principles, you know, for the home. And once again, as I said, let's just not limit it to a household structure, a household home, but let's expand it beyond that to anyone that we would be in relationship with. The first thing that I want to say is that you've got to be intentional about communication. Husbands and wives and everybody, now I'm saying here because this is what the Bible verse is saying, but I'm taking it beyond that. Husbands and wives should know how to communicate with each other. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. In like manner, ye husbands, speaking about the wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. What is the first thing that he says here? He says that husbands should live with their wives according to knowledge. What does that mean? That means that you should know your mate, that husbands should know their wives, that wives should know their husbands, that parents should know their children, and that children should know their parents. That you should study each other. You know, you should get a PhD in your mate. I'm working on my PhD. I already got one doctor, but I'm working on another one. I'm working on a PhD in angiology. All right? You got to get your PhD in your mate. Don't be like the guy whose wife got mad at him, and he was trying to figure out what he needed to do to get back in her good graces. And somebody said, well, you know, you ought to take your wife flowers. What's your wife's favorite flower? He said, well, I don't know if it's Pillsbury or General Mills. You got to know the other person. You know, you got to spend, say, I try to break this thing. You know, this, if I just came heavy, you know, I try to break it up a little bit, you know. And then that brings the people who are drifting off. That brings them back in too. All right.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Babel in the Home. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Babel in the Home, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Babel in the Home, or program number 060212. That's 877-831-5060 and request Babel in the Home, or program number 060212. Today's teaching was part 4 of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.